Morning, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. So an appropriate Thanksgiving topic is our topic this morning. Why are turkeys kosher? So first of all, I'm starting off telling you why they're kosher. I also want to say that I grew up in a house that we celebrated Thanksgiving. We had a feast, but I am not a turkey person. My mom always used to have a fleshik option for those who didn't like turkey, and that was also for me. So you can be confident that this is an unbiased opinion. You know, I don't need to conclude that they actually are. But the topic is why turkeys are kosher. Now, that what might stand out to you about that question is, why wouldn't they be kosher? Well, I don't know. Usually things are kosher, right? Why should we assume that they're not kosher? Why do we need to prove that they are? Well, that relates to the question of what makes a bird kosher. Generally, what makes a bird kosher? So the Mishnah Chulin that you see in source number one points out a very basic thing that you'll see if you look at Parshas Re'eh in Devarim, where it talks about kosher and non-kosher animals. The Mishnah points out there is no indication in the Torah as to what physical characteristics make a bird not kosher or kosher. It just gives us a list of non-kosher birds. About 21, I believe, birds listed in the Torah. And those birds are not kosher. That's the Torah says. Which means that if your bird is not on the list, you're good. Right? As long as you are, the bird you're eating is not on the list of, you know, the no-can-eat list in Parshas Re'eh, should be perfectly fine. What, of course, is the problem? Of course, the problem is that the Torah is written in Biblical Hebrew, and the species described in the Torah are hard to identify. We don't know exactly what they are. What's the Al-Talif? What's the Tinshames? So many of these are easily identifiable. Many of them are less easily identifiable. And therefore, to be sure that the bird that you're eating is not one of those that the Torah proscribes, Chazal gave us a few different simanim, signs. So that's source number one on your source sheet. The Mishnah says in Chulin, simanei behema v'chaya nemru min haTorah. If you're looking for the signs of animals to determine whether they're kosher or not, those are said in the Torah, right? We know those. Has to chew its cud, has to have split hooves. That we know. V'simanei ha'of lo nemru. But the signs of birds were not said in the Torah. Aval amru chachamim, the rabbis, the sages said, kol of ha-dores tameh, any animal that is dores is not kosher. That's sign one. What does it mean for an animal to be dores? It means some form of an attack on its prey. This is why you may have heard the notion that a predatory bird, quote-unquote predatory bird, is not kosher. There is a lengthy discussion as to what it means that it claws its prey. Rashi says that it sticks its claws into its prey, picks it off the ground, and then eats it. Tosfos says it eats its prey while it's still alive. It doesn't require, you know, killing it first. There are other slight variations. Maybe in the ground, it sticks the claws into the ground and pins its prey to the ground. All very wonderful as we're eating breakfast to think about.
You haven't seen the turkeys, the wild turkeys in Englewood and Tina.
I have seen them. People, of course I've seen them. What do you mean?
Gone to hospitals.
Yeah, you got to be careful. Oh, okay. But you're getting us in trouble. You're getting us in trouble? We can't say that. We're not up to the turkeys yet. Okay, that's one sign. That's a very important sign. The Mishnah says any bird that does this form of clawing is a problem. Then the Mishnah says, Kol sheyeshlo, it gives us three signs. Kol sheyeshlo etzba yisera, any bird that has an extra finger digit, call it what you will, on a bird. The zethek, or any bird that has a crop as the helpful Sansino translation enumerates here, a crop is that thing you see on a bird's throat, gobble, gobble, gobble. And it's there to help the food digest. It stores it in its throat before it goes to the stomach. And then the kirkavano niklaf, right? The zethek or kirkavano niklaf. If the crop and what we call the gizzard can be peeled, the gizzard is a part of the animal's stomach that's there to grind the food. meaning birds don't have teeth. So digestion is a little bit more complicated than the mouse. So they break down their food in their stomach, right? And then if that gizzard has, what it's saying here, a yellowish membrane, there's part of that bird's stomach that can be peeled off after you kill it. You can just sort of peel it off with your fingers. Then tahor, then it is kosher. So three signs. Now, if I was a bird expert, I could bring in the birds and show you what exactly the gizzard was or what the crop was or what the feet were. It's a discussion. What does it mean, an extra toe? Rashi says the extra toe is that toe that's behind the first three toes. That's one explanation. Most birds have that. If you are interested, let me know. There is a OU Kashrus bird expert, Rabbi Chaim Loiki. We can bring him in. He brings in the turkeys and you can look at them. It's very exciting or very creepy, depending upon your perspective. But this is the general description in the Mishnah of the signs that make a bird kosher. And Rabbi Lazar ben Rav Tzadok says, well, just finishing the Mishnah, Lazar ben Rav Tzadok omer kol ofa cholekes raglav tameh. Okay, any bird that splits its feet, and the Gemara says if it's perched, and in order to balance on the perch, it moves its toes in opposite directions, that's another sign that it's impure. So we have these signs, and we could spend a lot of time thinking about what the signs mean exactly, but it's not going to be that relevant, okay? I'll tell you why. Let's move to source 2 for a second. There is a very important argument here amongst the Rishonim between Rashi and almost all the other Rishonim, and that is as follows. The Mishnah mentions a sign which makes it impure. The sign that makes it impure is that it is dores, it claws its prey. Then it mentions three different indications that it is kosher. What is the relationship between those two types of signs? So Rashi, if you look at the Beis Yosef is of course the author of the Shulchan Aruch, and this is his commentary on the Torah. The Beis Yosef of Yosef Karo says, the Kasa of Rashi b'shmu azu, Rashi writes in the Sugya, Dehana chathal et ofos temeim, there are, the Gemara enumerates 24 species of unkosher, non-kosher birds. In 20 of those birds, they have all three kosher signs. Uh-oh. What that means is, just because a bird has the three kosher signs, doesn't mean it's kosher, according to Rashi. So in addition to having all three signs, it follows that according to Rashi, you also need to know that it isn't dores, that it doesn't claw its prey. Okay, now that, the last one, is the hardest one. Why? To know whether or not it has the gizzard that, you know, or the crop that peel off, or it has the extra toe is very easy. You just take a look at the bird and you investigate. To know whether it claws its prey, how are you going to know? You have to observe. You have to observe it attacking its prey. That's harder to know. So Rashi is going to raise the standard of kashrus a lot. However, if you look at the second little snippet I gave you from there in the Beis Yosef, most of the other Rishonim disagree. Rabbeinu Tam is a famous Rishon named Rabbi Moshe ben Yosef, who has a shita quoted by almost all Rishonim that no, it's not true. None of the non-kosher birds have all three signs. They say Rashi's just wrong from basic observation. It's just not true. And therefore, if you have all three signs, you're good, and you don't need to investigate whether it claws its prey. Okay? That is the shita of the other Rishonim. So this is very important. We're trying to find out whether a bird's kosher. According to the other Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, you just got to take a look at the bird and look for these three signs, and you're okay. According to Rashi, it gets a bit more complicated, and then it gets even more complicated. And this is where we get to the turkey, because we have source number 3, which Rashi goes to town on, based on his shita. Source number 3 is Chulin 62b, Sambez and Mabez, very short. There's a discussion of various types of birds in the Gemara in Chulin, and then the Gemara in Chulin says this, Darish Rameymar. Rameymar taught, Tarnagola de'agma, the swamp hen. Not sure why in this translation it put the word swamp and hen together. I don't think it's the swamp hen, it's the swamp hen. Asira, it's forbidden. Chazyua de darsa va'achla. We investigated it, and we saw that it indeed does claw its prey and then eat it. Vahainu giruta. And this is the giruta. Giruta is a bird which was known to be non-kosher. So when they investigated this swamp hen, they determined it's not okay. It's not okay because it claws its prey. What that means is, they originally, as Rashi interprets it, they originally thought that it was kosher, but it turned out that it was not. Uh-oh, that's not good. So says Rashi, the most important source in this discussion until now, in source number 4. Rashi says, Mito shein anu bekiyin bahem, since we're not experts in birds, we don't know whether they're kosher or not. We don't really know. We don't know these signs so well. We don't know so well whether or not they're predatory. Nireli, says Rashi, it appears to me, Zaof ha-bala fanenu, a bird that comes in front of us. Yishlomar shem ben yidros, you have to worry. Well, maybe it indeed does claw its prey. Tarnagolta da'agma, the swamp hen, hayu machazikin b'tahora. They assumed it was kosher. And then after a time, they saw that it does claw its prey. The ein of ne'achal lanu ella b'misores of shemasru lanu abusenu b'tahor. We can only eat birds if we have a tradition that our forefathers gave to us that says this sort of bird is kosher. We eat chicken. Why do we eat chicken? Because we always knew chickens are kosher. This is what we knew. This is the tradition. Chickens are kosher. You have chicken soup on Shabbos. Of course chickens are kosher. So we know chickens are kosher. Vishalom misaru rilanu, if they didn't give us any, vishalom masaru rilanu, they didn't give us a misora, no tradition. Yesh lachas, we have to be worried. Uve misora yesh lanu lismo, but we can rely on tradition. Good. So if you, Rashi, following up on his opinion, again, if you had like Tosfos, this wouldn't be so much of an issue. Because the other Rishonim, like Rabbeinu Tam, are convinced if it has all three signs, you're good. But if you hold like Rashi says even if you don't have all three signs, it still might not be kosher. And number two, we can never say definitively that it doesn't attack its prey with its claws. We never know. It might be predatory. Even if you think it's not, you might discover later that it is predatory. And therefore, we have to be concerned not to eat any bird unless we have a tradition. That is Rashi. How do we paskin lehalacha? What do we do? What is the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch in source number 5 sides with Rashi. Lechumra, as a stringency. Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 5, Yoredeya, Simon Pibes, chapter 82. First, the Shulchan Aruch talks about the fact that Torah doesn't have any signs for birds, and it gives you the signs, and then it gives you, and it says, if you know it's kosher, it's kosher. But then it says as follows, Mishenu makiram, if you don't recognize the birds, you don't know, is this the Tinshamet that's in the Torah? I don't know the way to define these birds. You check the signs. If a bird claws and eats, we know that it's not kosher. If you don't know whether or not it does claw, if when you put it on some sort of perch, it spreads its feet, two fingers on one side, and two on the other. Or it grabs the prey from the air and eats. Then you know that it does claw. And if you know that it doesn't claw, then there are three signs. Right? It has to have the extra finger and the crop and the gizzard that can be peeled by hand. Okay. Skipping a little bit to the second to last line, you see it bold in the English. He says, "V'afal pisha yeshlo gimel siman malalu elu." Even though it has these three signs, "Ein la ochlo," you can't eat the bird. "Lefisha anu choshesin shemahu dores," because we are concerned that it does claw its prey. "Ela in kein yeshlahem misores shemasulahem abosam shutahor," unless you have a tradition that the previous generations gave us that it is kosher. And he quotes the Rambam. Rambam would be a bit different than Rashi, but the point is, Shulchan Aruch sides with the opinion that you cannot eat a bird without a tradition. And even further, the Ramah goes a bit further. Moving to the next sif, there was opinion of the Baal Maor, the Zerach HaLevi, who had some sort of tradition. That's the second little snippet in Source 5. Yesh omrim shekol ov shechartumo rachav v'kaf ragol rachava kishel avaz. If you have a bird who has a wide beak and a wide palm like a goose, biyadua sheno dores, then we can be confident it doesn't claw its prey. So there was a tradition that these two signs, wide beak, wide feet, that means it's kosher. However, the Ramah says, no, even that's not good enough. We cannot eat a bird unless we have a tradition that it's kosher. So that is the first part of our discussion. How do you know whether you can eat a bird? According to what it seems like halacha l'masa, you know if you have a tradition that it's kosher and doesn't attack its prey with its claws. Now, it is worth noting, however, this isn't the consensus opinion. There was an argument about it, and it is a stringency. It's not that we know for sure that if you don't have a tradition that it is not kosher. What we're saying is, since we have to be concerned, and if it's not kosher, you're violating a biblical prohibition, so then you have to be careful and you have to be stringent. This brings us to our bird of the day, the turkey. Why is the turkey so interesting? It's so interesting for the following reason. The turkey was known to the Jewish community much later in history, because when was the turkey discovered? Yeah, in the 1500s, Cortez, when explorers came mostly to America. And there was a lot of confusion. What is this bird? And that's why people thought, where did people think the turkey came from? India. Because everything in the New World must have been from India. That's why one of the most common ways of translating turkey in Hebrew is Tarnagol Hodu, an Indian chicken, even though it's not from India. It's from America. The species that we're most familiar with. So all of a sudden in the 1500s, 1600s, these birds are coming to Europe. And what do they look like? They look like big chickens. So we know that Jews started eating them. That's what happened. Well, and the question is, all of a sudden then you have a few hundred years later and you have this question. Well, wait a minute. People are eating these quote-unquote big birds. And it's fascinating, if you look through the literature, there are various names for them, you know. What are these big birds called? Some call them the Indian birds, some call them the American birds, some call them these big birds that have come to our communities. There's all sorts of different names for them. People are trying to figure out, what's the deal? How can we eat these things? Now, what's the problem? You're in a unique situation. On the one hand, did the Jews have a tradition that this private bird was kosher? The answer is no. No. On the other hand, how do we know that they did not have such a tradition? Because they didn't even know about them. It's not that there was a bird that they knew about that they had no tradition for. Rather, it was a bird that was discovered and came into the Jewish community much later. So how do you deal with such a phenomenon? It's almost post facto. People are eating turkeys. How do we justify it? Can we justify it? That is the question. So I first brought you Rav Shlomo Kluger, who says we cannot justify it. It's a problem. They shouldn't eat the turkeys. I won't allow it. Turkeys are not kosher. I'll read it for you briefly here in source number 6. Aderesh Shelaso Benidona Ofos Habayim in America. Regarding your question about the birds that come from America. Hine ani osram. I forbid them. I'm not going to go with these people who are saying they're permissible. I've answered this for a year. Don't eat turkey, says Rav Shlomo Kluger. And the basis of my opinion is, came unto Anan Kaimalan, since we rule, we don't rely on any sort of sign. Rock ala mesores, we only rely on tradition. The Ain Lanu Alea Misores. We have no tradition for the turkey. Okay? Then he goes on and he says, you'll tell me that there is a tradition because the people from America have a tradition. Some people are saying the American Jews have a tradition that these turkeys are kosher. I think it's nonsense. Number one, How long do you think the Jews have been in America for? Oh, a couple hundred years? That's not a tradition. A tradition, we mean, for thousands and thousands of years, they used to eat the bird. They've been there for a couple hundred years. Number two, and this is a bit more...
The point in that thinking was that they all came from Europe.
Right.
The Jews all came from...
But they've been there for a long time.
Yeah, in the 1600s, 50s.
Nah, before that.
Look at his dates of birth. He was born in late
1700s. Yeah. No, they've been there before that. No, but he's going on the Gemara. When the Gemara, like he's saying, when the earlier Rishonim...
He's saying that they came from Europe.
Who?
The Jews in America didn't come from South America.
Of course, but how would they have a tradition about American birds? That's what he's saying. This is an American bird, right?
Right.
People are saying, oh, the Jews in America, they know these turkeys, so they're kosher. But what do you mean? A couple hundred years isn't a tradition.
I understand your point.
Yeah.
I was just looking at 2 and 3. Any tradition from America is only a few hundred years old. But really, it was carried to America from Europe.
No. The tradition was not carried from Europe because in Europe, they didn't know about the turkeys.
Right. Sorry. Got it.
So it was only from America. Number two, these American Jews, they're all crumb. We can't rely on them. They're not so from. Look what happened in America. They started going off the derech. If we have a tradition from, you know, our holy forefathers, then okay. But if these Americans, no way. Says, can't eat turkey. Don't worry. The title of this year is, Why Are Turkeys Kosher? So what you really have is a fascinating situation of an ipso facto sort of rationalization of eating turkey, right? Post facto, I should say. So how do we rationalize this? First opinion I'll share with you is that of the Netziv in the Meshev Davar. The Netziv says, first he says, you know what? If this question had come to me for the first time right now, I would have said, it's a problem. But now that Jews have been eating it for hundreds of years, clearly there is an assumption that it is kosher. And without proof, without a definitive proof, we can't assume that it is not. Right? It says in its sieve, he's actually talking about a different type of goose, but he says, Veteda, I'll prove to you, Sheheter ha'of indik she'anu ochlin. This indik bird. Why does he call a turkey an indik bird? Is he talking about turkey? I don't know. He says it's from, he mentions that people, it's from India. So it's not from India, but they thought the turkeys came from India. So it's likely the turkey. Okay? So he says, we eat this bird. Hayu harbi ma'arim aleyan b'shashe via me India. When they originally brought the turkeys from India, which they didn't, but okay. People were very upset. They were objecting. They didn't have a tradition that they were kosher. And even today, there are certain people who are stringent and they don't eat turkey. However, people already have the custom to be permissive. No one says anything. There's a lot of big rabbis in Russia and Malaysia and Poland. Why don't the big rabbi say it is forbidden to eat the turkey? No one says that. A few people are stringent. Why? It's already been established as permissible. There's no proof to say it's not. Meaning as follows. And this, there is a, it relates to a very fascinating, almost metaphysical principle. That there is no way, the Gemara says, that even God doesn't let even the animals of righteous people mistakenly sin. Meaning, the fact that there have been so many Jews eating this bird for so many years, or at least 100, 200, 300 years, it must be kosher. There's no way God will allow this to be something so common in our community if it wasn't kosher. So it's mutter. And number two, we don't have a proof that it's not kosher. We just don't know. We don't know. We don't have a tradition. So generally, the custom is, if you don't have a tradition, don't eat it. But now people started eating it. So it's assumed that it's kosher. We can't say it's not. And again, he says, if you had come to me 300, 400 years ago and said, can you eat the turkey? I would say no. But that's not what happened. People started eating it. He's coming a few hundred years later. So the justification number one is, once it became permissible, we're not going to change its status. And we're not going to forbid it just due to the lack of tradition. Then you have source number eight. Source and rates is Sholem Eishev. Sholem Eishev is a bit more direct about this. He says, wait a second. Hold on a second. What's this whole stringency with birds? It was a big machlokes. It was a big argument. Most of the Rishonim said, all you need is the three signs and you're good. Then Rashi comes along and says, no, that's not enough. You need the three signs, and you need a tradition that it doesn't claw its prey. And then you say, well, we don't know, and therefore, even if you think it doesn't claw its prey, then you can't eat it unless you have a tradition. I'll tell you something. Rashi, incorrect. I don't paskin like Rashi. I'm going with the other opinion. It says here, briefly, we'll read it together in the Sholu Meshiv, very important posik. He says, right? You all know that the root of the matter is, we know that turkeys have these three signs. They have the three signs with the feet and the gizzard and the crop. That we know. We're just not 100% sure they don't claw their prey. But they're kosher, for sure. How did you never learn the topic about kashrus, about birds? Didn't you look at the Shulchan Aruch? You need the shitas from Moshe bar Yosef and Mechuveres. We call shitas Shiramban bar Rashba bar Ritva bar Rav Amagi. Kimu v'kibu shiasos kol sheisho gimel simanim rakshlo no dam him dor siming shirim. Right. Listen. Most of the big rabbis said if it has the three signs, you're good. He's like screaming at them. Didn't you read the Shulchan Aruch? The answer is yeah, but that's not how Shulchan Aruch paskins. We don't rule like those three rabbis. And he says the other Rishonim disproved Rashi. So basically, he looks back at this fact that people are eating the turkey, and he says, even though the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Karo and the Code of Jewish Law paskins against the majority of Rishonim and stringent for Rashi, doesn't matter. I'm telling you, Rashi's incorrect. All the other Rishonim disagreed with Rashi. And then he says something else, very interesting. He says, well, maybe we do have a tradition because, and this is something interesting, I'll just reference it out. So he says, there are all these people from Israel. Fascinating. People from Israel that have come, they've come to Europe. They look at the turkey and they're thinking, this is similar to a bird we eat in Eretz Israel. It's very similar. And they even attest to certain identifying features of the turkey without investigating it closely. So clearly they have some familiarity with a similar type of bird. And he says, well, maybe you think the bird in Israel is not the same as a turkey, which it's not. But it's not the same as the turkey. It's at least an argument. And then you have two doubts. Number one, maybe we have a tradition. Because the people in Israel say they have a tradition with a similar type of bird that says it's kosher. Number two, and even if we don't have a tradition, maybe you don't need the tradition. Maybe we paskin like the opinion that you don't need a tradition, that as long as it has the three signs, you're good. And therefore, I'm going to be mekel. I'm lenient. You can eat turkey. Excuse me. You can eat turkey. It says a shor lumeishit. So that's justification two, which basically is, okay, a Shulchan Aruch paskin, we always need a tradition. I don't paskin like that. If people are eating turkey, they can continue eating turkey because we go with other opinion. Fascinating. I think the most I find compelling justification is source number 9 from the Arugos HaBosem of Aryeh Levush Bolshever. Hopefully I pronounced that right. And he says something fascinating. So first of all, I didn't bring you this part. He says, well, listen, we have a tradition for the chicken. So the turkey is a bit bigger than the chicken. Okay, it doesn't mean it's no tradition at all. So it's a bit bigger. It's a bit of a big chicken. It has bigger feet. It makes a slightly different sound, but they're similar enough. Then he says, maybe not. So he goes to the following argument. He says as follows, right? Hold on a second. When you say we need a tradition, why is that? What do we mean? Why in the Gemara are we stringent for that one bird they discovered all of a sudden does claw? That's talking about something new. All of a sudden, a new bird comes to our attention, and then we don't have a tradition. And we've never had the chance to observe the bird. And since we haven't had the chance to observe the bird over a long period of time, we have to worry, well, maybe it does indeed claw its prey. Hold on a second. The turkeys have been around for a long time. We have thousands and tens of thousands of turkeys. And we see them. And we see that they're not predatorial. We see they don't claw their prey. So essentially, the Misora isn't magic. It's not that magically all of a sudden it becomes okay with the Misora. The point is, until you actually have a good deal of familiarity with the bird, you just don't know. And that's when we have to be stringent. But now that we've had these turkeys for so long, and we've seen them, and we've raised them, and we see tens of thousands of them, and they're not predatorial, we can tell you they're not predatorial. And that's enough to know that they're kosher, and therefore you can eat the turkey even according to this idea that you need a tradition. Okay? So what's interesting is you see, because if you had gone to Arugas Abosim in 1500 and said, when they just discovered these turkeys, and then said, can you eat it? I don't know, there's no tradition. But once people already started essentially raising them and eating them and selling them by the thousands, then it turns out that we have a familiarity with them. It might not be called a tradition, but if you know clearly from the evidence that they're not predatorial, then you can rely on that. So what you see, which is really fascinating about the turkey, is it's almost like God wanted the Jews to be able to eat turkey, you know? Because it's this reality where had the rabbis realized that this was a different sort of bird when it first arrived on European shores, the Jews were, they would have said, nah, you can't eat this. This is different. This is a different bird. There's no tradition. But for whatever reason, that didn't happen. Jews ate turkey. And that actually changed the equation. So much so that in this last source, the Arugas Abosim is saying that we do have a tradition, or not a tradition per se, but since we have so much familiarity with them, we can rely on that in lieu of a tradition. I'll just end that. Almost all Lamasa, almost all kashas organizations say you can eat turkey. And we know that Moshe Feinstein and the Rav said you can eat turkey because they talk about another issue. Can you eat turkey on Thanksgiving? Or is that following the customs of the Gentiles? And that's a problem. But if they thought turkey wasn't kosher, it wouldn't be much of a discussion. Obviously, they assume turkey's kosher. The question is it, you know, Thanksgiving and following secular holidays a problem? That's a different shear. Maybe on Shabbos, talk about that. But Ramosha thought it was kosher. The Rav thought it was kosher. There are people who are stringent. Herschel Schechter is famously stringent, assuming that, listen, we don't have the tradition. We don't have the tradition. You can't eat the turkey. But generally, we definitely assume that turkeys are kosher. And so when you eat your Thanksgiving dinner this evening, you can thank the Arugas Abosim, the Tzniv, the Shoal Umesha, and all the other Rabbanim that dealt with this issue and determined that indeed we can continue to eat the turkey. Thanks, everybody, for listening.